You're listening to the Around Comics Book Club on Hellblazer, Dangerous Habits.
Walk down the streets and I look down and wonder why it wasn't happening.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. But this is a special book club edition of Around Comics.
Special
edition. Yes.
In your face.
We will be talking about our book club selection, which is Hellblazer Dangerous Habits.
I'm holding it up there for Chris to see.
It's a beautiful, is that Glenn Fabry cover?
I believe. So, 1993, Glenn Fabry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as Around Comics listeners should know by now, semi-monthly or so, we pick a book and then give you the chance to read along at home, and then we come back here and talk about it for a half hour or so, and that is exactly what we're doing today with Hellblazer Dangerous Habits. If you didn't know already, you can pick that up at instocktrades.com, which is the best place on the internet for finding collected editions, from trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, omnibus editions, absolute editions, showcases, essentials, and all that other collected goodness. And they were good enough to discount this 47% off the cover price. I think it was $7.94.
And ridiculous.
It was ridiculous on the discount. And you can probably still get that here the remainder of the week if our discussion entices you enough to do so. So head on over to instocktrades.com. And hang around till the end of the show, where Tom will unveil his new book club selection. I already know what it is, and I'm excited
it's
to
hidden.
Read it.
It's hidden underneath a tarp in the corner.
It's like Iron Chef, and today's secret ingredient
is lobster.
A la cuisine.
Old tires.
So hang around to the end of the episode, and we'll find out what that is. And I'll tell you what, let's jump on in here.
Let's do it.
A little bit of the backstory for my picking Hellblazer Dangerous Habits.
Share with me, old friend.
Hellblazer has been around for over 20 years.
Yeah.
He is an Alan Moore invention, the character is. Showed up way back in Swamp Thing, and then spun off into his own series, as popular characters are apt to do. Was around, I believe, before the formation of Vertigo, but is really one of the flagship and original Vertigo books, and has been running continuously ever since, and is honestly one of the longest running comic books on the shelves.
It keeps going. Where's up in the 240s?
Yeah. 240s? It's Hellblazer's been running for 20 years, which it boggles my mind that I think of Hellblazer, maybe it's just an effect of me getting a little bit older, but I think of it as not being that old of a character, but it really is.
He's been around since the mid-80s. Mm-hmm.
And myself had never gotten into Hellblazer as a character, always knew he was there on the periphery, and there are a lot of dedicated Hellblazer fans. There are people that absolutely love that character, that is their favorite character. And so I started asking a few people around the internet where a good place to start would be.
Yes.
And surprisingly, or maybe not, Jeff Lemire, who is the fantastic creator of The Nobody and Essex County, and he's currently doing a great series at Vertigo as well.
Purveyor of Canadian Sadness.
Yes, he is. It's like Saw for Canadians.
Yeah,
but he's doing a great series called Sweet Tooth, and Jeff emailed me, and he is a huge Constantine fan, and said, these are the books that you should check out. And Dangerous Habits was one of the books that he suggested, and I kind of told folks that I had kind of a working knowledge of who Constantine was as a character, and some of that was based on the movie. And
I had never read a Constantine.
Really?
I never read any Hellblazer.
Okay, so you're right there
this.
With me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, had you seen the movie?
I saw half the movie.
Oh, you didn't like it.
And it's one of those movies where when it's on like cable, mm-hmm. I'll sit and watch some of it. But I never am compelled. I've probably seen the whole thing in total, but I can't say that I've sat down and watched the whole thing, like from beginning to start. I've watched it in pieces enough. Like, I know what happens. Yeah. I know what happens in the movie.
I like the movie, and I know a lot of people who, you know, those really hardcore Constantine fans that we've talked about. A lot of folks didn't like it. I think Keanu Reeves was an odd selection to play that character. I didn't have a ton of knowledge of the character, so it didn't bother me. But this collection, Dangerous Habits, there's a lot that is pulled from this book that ends up in the movie. And so I thought it was a great companion piece, if you're familiar with the movie, to jump in and familiarize yourself with the comic character.
The movie kind of confirmed – well, I shouldn't say confirmed because – this book is far different from the movie, but and watching the movie, all the things I had kind of assumed what Hellblazer was, the movie kind of confirmed it. And those, it was kind of like, oh, it's like demons, and yeah, magic.
He's a fairly straightforward character in that he is a supernatural demon hunter.
Yeah,
he's a demon hunting warlock. He has an understanding of the occult and.
I guess the movie just didn't – I was like, oh, yeah, it is. That's what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. But, you know, let's go ahead and jump into into the actual book. And we may touch on the movie a little bit and some of the comparisons of it. But Constantine, as we just mentioned, the basic core of the character is that he is a warlock.
Yeah.
From England. It's a very English book.
Very English.
And he hunts demons, fights the forces of evil and darkness and the occult. But we open with this book that Constantine is fighting a much different enemy, and that is he's got the cancer.
He's got the cancer, the big C, lung cancer from smoking all those cigarettes.
Yeah, he's kind of and this does jump into the series. I forget what issues it jumps into, but Constantine is kind of he's a likably despicable character. I mean, he's sort of
like a drunk smoker.
Yeah, he drinks, he smokes, he treats his body like shit. And
kind of treats everyone around him
like shit.
Like shit, yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the core of that character is that, you know, he's constantly fighting demons and all this supernatural hoo-ha. And so I think... whenever you do that kind of stuff, you can't expect to have a really long life expectancy. And he lives hard.
He fights demons, but the demons he has the most problems with are his inner demons. Exactly. There you go. Put that on the trade.
Yep.
That's too bad. It already came out.
But he finds out he has cancer, and there's no way that he has found, and he has really kind of, I guess, exhausted pretty much every magical or supernatural avenue that he can think of.
He's trying to find a way around it.
Yeah, he's trying to beat the devil.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a common theme through Constantine, is that he's, you know, he's always trying to figure out a way to beat the devil or devils. And so the beginning of the book, it's really morose.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't like it till the last...
The last issue is the one where I was,
because otherwise it had been kind of what I thought it was, kind of all the negative things that I think of when I think of Hellblazer. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a guy fighting demons, and it's reads kind of like an epilogue. The entire thing reads kind of like an epilogue to his story in a weird way, and at first was a little hard to get into because it's a guy going around dying from cancer who's sort of mourning the people he's fucked over, and I didn't really know
who he
fucked over, and it was kind of like, oh, this is like, feels like an end cap as opposed to
it's not a feel good book.
No.
He's
not that's why I didn't like it, but it's a very
how many quote unquote chapters, how many issues?
I think it's five or six.
Okay.
I was just looking at the issue numbers. It came out in 91 too, which kind of
surprised you?
No, it was 41 to 46, so six issues.
Okay.
Yeah. A six issue story.
What I felt whenever I was reading it is that I was really glad that I was reading it as a trade because it was a very slow burn. It was a lot of setup, and it would have been hard for me to keep my enthusiasm for that over a 6 month schedule, you know, reading a chapter every month or so. But as a trade, and I think I read it in two sittings, it was a pretty satisfying read. But I think that what Ennis was doing is that, you know, cancer is a terrible disease in that it just sucks the life out of whoever has it. And it's a very slow and methodical disease. And I felt like the series moved in a very slow, methodical, and painful way.
I felt like I was dying of cancer.
Exactly. It was terrible. You saw what he was going through, and he was exhausting everything that he possibly could to supernaturally, you know, heal himself. And he comes to the conclusion that, hey, this is it. I'm dying. And he, through kind of his travels, he ends up going to a cancer ward, which I think is one of the high points of
it's that portion of the story that made it good. Without that, the fact that it's Hellblazer escapes cancer to me is just not.
It doesn't have a tremendous. Without having some loss to it, it doesn't have the emotional resonance.
It almost seems like gallows humor esque without that. Mm-hmm. Almost like you down to the point where he flips off the devil, and without the cancer ward portion of it, I don't think the other half of it resonates. It just is like, oh, okay, he tricks the devil and escapes cancer. It's the cancer ward where he meets the guy who's dying of cancer, and he sort of befriends this guy. The whole way the story works is because of that. That's what makes the whole thing work. Or otherwise, it's just like it's just like a superhero escaping death, and what I love
about that character, and forgive me, I haven't read it since I think
his name was Matt. I'll look it up real quick.
What I loved about that character is that he was. I mean, because he was so human, and Constantine plays in very unhuman areas, and he had such an acceptance of what was happening to him, but he still had this human spirit that he was going to fight until the end. But he had come to a peace that this is what was going to happen. He'd kind of surrendered to the cancer. And Constantine's not going to do that, but Matt had kind of a quiet dignity.
Yeah,
to it.
And also Constantine, in and of himself, the fact that he, you know, smokes and gets drunk and fights demons, can be like a caricature of like a sad British character, and it can not have a lot of resonance. Not just for various reasons. It can just kind of be like, oh, okay, he's going to smoke and drink and beat the devil and blah, blah, blah. You know, like a lot of what people would criticize, you know, oh, yeah, you know, Superman will beat Lex Luthor in the end, but with, you know, all the alcohol and smoke, smoking
instead. But all the tropes of the, the dreary English, very English.
But having the final chapter of the book, up until the final chapter, as I was reading, I was kind of like, okay. Because he does, Constantine, of course, survives. His book is still coming out. He essentially tricks the devil. The devil is really three different entities, and he kind of sells his soul to all three of them. And so if he dies, they're going to fight. And if they fight, the hell will be torn apart and God will win and everything will be fucked up. So they have to make sure that Constantine survives his cancer. It's the only way out of the deal.
He runs an Ocean's 11 con job.
Yeah, none of them are willing to relinquish their claim on Constantine's soul.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, and it is a clever way to get through that portion of the story.
Absolutely.
And it was a fun portion of it, but the final chapter, the chapter where he, you know, in his celebration of beating the devil, he like goes on a bender for a couple days and wakes up and he's like,
goes back to being Constantine.
Yeah, and then he remembers the fact that Matt, his friend that's in the cancer ward, could be dead, you know, and that was really what made the story great, is the fact that Constantine knows he cheated death and not everyone else can.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that, you know, like, why isn't he, why can't he suffer the same way other people do? Everyone else around him doesn't get to escape. He gets to escape.
Survivor's remorse.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And it made the story, it really tied the whole story together, because you can see in the previous portions where he's talking about all his friends that are all dead.
Yeah.
You know,
mostly, like, because of him.
Mostly because of him, in a way. Like, their association, not that he killed them or, like, he necessarily did reckless things to them, but the fact that they were his friends put them sort of in the line of fire of what he does, and he wasn't always... His major concern wasn't always protecting everyone around him, you know, like a lot of collateral damage when he was doing what he's doing. And you knew he kind of felt bad about it, but more in, like, he was afraid, like, of the people when he died. Like, would they come get him? Like, what? I mean, the real guilt about it, I thought, really hit home in the final part, and that was when the whole story sort of came together. At that point, you really genuinely felt like Constantine felt bad. Like, why do I get to escape death when everyone else has to, you know, go through cancer and die? Like, no one else has this thing that I did, and now I'm just going to drink and smoke and go back to my normal life while Matt died horribly, had a horrible end, you know, and the final portion of it. So it was really that sort of tying together of the whole thing and really making you feel that Constantine feels bad about what happened, that made the sort of legitimized the whole story to me, made the whole story interesting, and made the whole thing tie together.
You know, that's the interesting thing about Constantine. It's not the first, nor will it be the last character that we see that is damned but is working on the side of good. Yeah. You know, he hunts demons, he works against evil, but he's a damned character. And especially after this, because he has, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's sold his soul to the devil to beat cancer.
The dancer,
So what's, you know, throughout the history of the character, I mean, he's damned. He's a damned character. Yeah. He knows he's going to hell, and he's gonna, I guess, you know, the idea is that he's gonna take as many of them with him as he can.
He's gonna take them all down, all down with him. But it surpassed the gallows humor portion of it to become more emotionally affecting by the end, which I think is what made this story really good.
It did work.
It worked in its entirety. Like, reading the whole thing, tying it together.
Oh, believe me. I was halfway through, and I was like, ooh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And at the end, I was really... kind of taken with it, and now months and months after I've read it, it's still a story that resonates with me. And I think that, for me anyway, because I have terrible recollection, is a mark of a good story if I'm still thinking about it, you know, months later.
What did you think of the art in it?
It's very English.
It was very early 90s Vertigo.
It was, and well, you look a lot of very early 90s Vertigo. There was a lot of English writers and English artists.
It was
Matt Williams.
Matt William Simpson. Drew it.
Matt Williams was the third baseman for the Giants.
That'd be pretty crazy if he also drew a Hellblazer story. He's a real Renaissance man.
I wasn't a huge fan of the art at the beginning, but by the end of the story, I couldn't imagine it being drawn in any other style or by any other artist. It grew on me as the story went along, but you nailed it. It's very early 90s Vertigo style.
It threw me for a little bit because it's a style that doesn't exist.
It's as morose as the story was, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the coloring is very drab. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. Well, you can't, you know, Constantine's not going to walk around with, like, a bright yellow coat.
Jim Lee can't draw this story.
But it's also a style that I don't think you see as much anymore, and especially the Vertigo stuff. I think
they've kind of moved to the Mark Buckingham style. You see more along those lines, I guess.
It's very old. It's very not old-fashioned, because that seems silly to say about a book from 1991, but it's very sparse in its backgrounds. It's very
Well, you know, we had
the color palette's very consistent through pages.
We had another Vertigo book as a book club selection not that long ago, and that is Saga of the Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
and was Tadalbon was the artist on that?
Bissett
and Tadalbon.
Yeah,
Tadalbon was the anchor.
Yeah,
very similar in feel. It's just it is just kind of it's drab English art.
Yeah. I would think the one benefit that the Swamp Thing
and
had
I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, if it's the it does with the story. I think the big advantage to the Swamp Thing story is that the artist can really kind of go crazy on Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of make Swamp Thing, you know, like. Gnarled. You can really sort of bust out and make it look really cool.
We talked about Bissett. It looked like he had much more fun drawing foliage and Swamp Thing
than Firestorm.
Than he did people. But, yeah. And I think in this, I mean, you have the demons that you can draw, and so you need that kind of supernatural, kind of grisly.
It almost felt to me like and again, this probably sounds stupid, it felt like a black and white story that coloring was sort of
secondary. Very secondary.
Yeah, I'd like to see it sort of black and whiteish almost. You know, of course, a black and white book sells half as much as a color book, so of course you're gonna color it. But
you should check out the Ian Rankin Hellblazer.
I was looking at that. I was looking at it. Mm-hmm. I was taking
One of the. It's not that this book is boring up until the end. It's just very measured. But I did like the part where he goes to visit his friend who had really kind of degenerated into
just a drunken
ex warlock that lived in his basement conjuring, you know, mystical beer out of holy water.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was actually one of the funnier parts is whenever he tricks the devil into drinking holy water, which you know was a very Constantine thing to do. I mean, he's always walking around with this, you know, kind of a grin and a nod as he's kind of getting one over on these really powerful supernatural forces and to be able, I mean that's his life, that's what he does.
He's a thorn in the side
of
the devil.
He tricks the devil and it never ceases to piss off the devil that this you know,
Constantine keeps getting away with it.
This little jerk does it and figures a way to get out of it. He is the you know the road runner to the devil's wily coyote.
It was almost like the parts that I had a harder time connecting with until the end. It almost sort of reminded me of very much the stuff I like about Ennis and the stuff that I don't like about Ennis. And it was like a weird combination of the two. Like, I'm not a huge fan of The Boys, or not to say that the first part of this story is anything like The Boys, but there is sort of like a morose humor to it and sort of not a lack of depth, but more of like a.
It can be sometimes lowbrow.
Lowbrow, which is like midbrow American. You know, he's getting drunk and he's, you know, swearing at people and trying to get along with people. But the very end sort of reminded me of all the good when Ennis is really good and Ennis finds a way to take this character that he has set up in this whole story as
something that could have been very pretentious. And he actually gave it some resonance.
It could have been extremely trite and extremely pretentious, but I think it worked in the fact that it was juxtaposed to this story that was so had that sort of like light moroseness in a way, like a sort of the gallows humor esque lightness to it of like, oh, he's gonna beat cancer. You knew he was gonna get away with it. Well, I know because the book's old and I know Constantine's still around. From the point of view, I don't know if reading it in 1991, you know, if you were worried that Constantine was going to die. I mean,
it works.
I'm going to read more Hellblazer. Yeah.
Well, that's another thing about how slow and measured it was. I mean, you really get to a point in the book where it's like, wow, he's going to die.
Yeah. He's saying goodbye to everyone and you're just kind of like, oh, man. Like, is he going to, you know, is he really going to die? Is
yeah,
he really
yeah.
Gonna
are
die?
We going to see Hellblazer, you know, 2? Is it, you know, Son yeah, of Hellblazer?
Son of Hell. As the trench coat and cigarettes get passed on to his hey, legacy character, the younger point, Hellblazer.
I mean,
that takes
he
over.
Really did.
Kid Hellblazer.
He exhausted.
Heckblazer.
Heckblazer. In the 90s, I'm surprised it didn't happen. But I mean, he did. He exhausted everything. And I really got to a point. It's like, wow, how is he going to do this? Of course, I had watched the movie and I knew that there was a con job coming, but it was a different con job in the movie than yes. What happens here.
I like this one better
as well. It works in the comic in a way that I don't think it would have worked in the movie. You know, but back to Ennis a little bit. You know, he is one of this long line of writers that have done some pretty amazing work with Hellblazer. I've been reading more Hellblazer,
yeah.
And you look at guys like you know obviously Alan Moore with the Swamp Thing, but Jamie Duano and Brian Azzarello, yeah. And I've heard that you know Pete Milligan is even doing some really nice Hellblazer.
I heard
stuff
there's now. A lot of good Hellblazer sort of flies under the radar quite yeah. a bit because yeah. I think what it is, it's exactly what I thought of it before I read it, where mm-hmm. I was like, it's just a dude fighting. Demons,
yeah.
You know, like, okay, like, it's if you didn't read this book, which I really enjoyed, I know I this is probably the most critical I've sounded of anything that we've read so far, but I actually really ended up loving it.
Did you think about it a lot after you read it?
I did. Okay. I thought the end was very structured in a way that I don't think a lot of the things we've read so far is if you've read the first half of this, I don't know if. If yeah. someone gave me the first 3 issues of this and I read it, I don't know if I'd walk away from it going like, I'm really excited to read him saying goodbye to like
yeah. Ooh,
the guy who does his laundry now. You know, like, is this
let's
what's
go
gonna
visit
happen next?
Another cancer war.
Yeah. Oh God, are we gonna have another kid? But the whole thing all together mm-hmm. with all the setup and mm-hmm. the climax, and then I think the end that pulls it all together, it works fantastically, and I'm very interested in reading more Hellblazer.
As an aside, a really fun Hellblazer trade that I yeah. picked up, and it was from written by an old friend of the show, Simon Oliver.
Yes,
did a miniseries called Chaz.
Oh yeah, the taxi driver.
Yeah, which Chaz is in.
Yes,
is in this book.
That was one of the really good moments too of the mm-hmm. as. Hellblazer says, you know,
is
like,
saying goodbye to his one of his only friends.
Yeah, and they sort of end with Chaz being pissed off at Hellblazer because Hellblazer sort of fucked him over, you know, Constantine
again.
Fucked him over.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Constantine leaves him a note and it is all this money, like paying him back for what's happened and mm-hmm. saying, I'm probably not going to see you again. And it's, that was one of the really affecting moments in the first portion of the
yeah,
book.
Yeah, because Constantine is a user. Right. He uses people to get to a goal. I mean, that's what he does.
He burns through all of yeah. the people he knows trying to escape death.
And Chaz is one of the people that yeah. he has continually used over the course of this series. But they have this kind of symbiotic relationship that Chaz understands who and what he is, and he sees the bigger picture. But he's still an English cab driver.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's going to be – it's one of his, you know, best mates, but he can also, you know, hate him for the despicable dirtbag that he is.
Yeah, Constantine burns through people.
Yeah, but Chaz the Knowledge was a really cool spinoff miniseries that focused on Chaz and really kind of gives you a little bit of insight into the life of an English cabbie, which is very interesting, and you should pick that up.
I want to read some more Hellblazer, and I want people that listen to this to send me suggestions of what Hellblazer did. The thing about mm-hmm. Hellblazer that's crazy, like, it's not numbered.
Yes, none of them are numbered.
That's insane.
I keep asking people about that, why they do that, and the answer I keep getting back is you don't really have to read it in order that each person that's written Hellblazer has kind of told their story. So if you pick up, like, the early Jamie Delano
stuff, it's
very good.
Okay.
If you pick up Azzarello, had a much different take on Hellblazer, that Ennis had a great run, and all these people that have touched the character have had their own moments with it. And the concept, kind of what we've been talking about, the concept of the character isn't incredibly complicated.
So you can kind of do...
Yeah.
It's like Jonah Hex.
Yes. Yeah.
You can, exactly. Different people can kind of just do their thing with him, and mm-hmm. he's always going to kind of end up in the same place. Yeah. You know, like, he's always going to kind of be doing the same thing. Like, there isn't going to be a point where Constantine's like, I'm done fighting demons.
Yeah,
you know, not, like, it's over. You know, there's not a
point where he stops drinking, smoking, and wearing a trench coat.
Exactly. It's going to be.
I read the Ayn Rankin Vertigo crime book.
How was that?
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as this. I thought it was. It was just kind of a good one-off Constantine story and more of a commentary on reality TV.
Interesting.
Reality TV in hell. Basically,
is there a difference, Chris? Nice.
But I think it's just a very accessible character to pick up any sort of trade and just understand that he's a demon demon fighting.
It changed
warlock.
My conception of what I thought a Hellblazer story was.
Cool.
Of course, it's the first one I've read, so mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I've got a few others. I will do a little mix and matching and trading with you, and we can compare some notes as we go on.
I'm interested.
Yeah, you need to give Jeff Lemire a holler. Maybe
my phone doesn't reach Canada.
Oh,
I requested that service be turned. I only call people in America. I only call people in America.
Well, I tell you what. Let's go ahead and wrap up our conversation. If you listening at home read this, go ahead email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. Let us know what you thought about it, and maybe some other Hellblazer suggestions for Tom and myself
cancer adventure books. So you know, I mean, cancer
coming in 2011.
Yeah, if you know any sort of good cancer adventures,
we would love to hear from you about that. But now, Tom, this is the point in the show where you unveil. Grab the tarp.
I have my hand on a rope. It's a velvet tarp.
And there are a lot of spotlights.
Yeah, that's right. Pull the cord away. And the next book that we're going to do is Strangers in Paradise, the first pocket book volume. So there you go.
Excellent.
Have you read Strangers in Paradise, Chris?
I have not.
Interesting. All right.
My first introduction to Terry Moore has been a really enjoyable one, and that is Echo, which I am absolutely
Strangers
loving.
In Paradise is different.
But I
really enjoyed it.
Now, Strangers in Paradise is one of those books kind of like Love and Rockets or Savage Dragon. It's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Of characters that aged in real time over the course of the series, correct?
Yeah. Time passes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean... I don't know if it's
technically real time, but...
Yeah, I don't know if it's technically... But yeah, it's in that sense of... It's not like a timeless sphere like a Batman, Superman, mm-hmm. where everyone... I mean, it's in a real place where time passes and things happen. And it's not a slice of life book. It is like a slice of a more exciting life book.
Okay.
Cool. You know, like it's a little soap opera in parts, mm-hmm. and it's a little intrigue in parts, and it's I like it. I love it. It's one of my favorite.
Nice.
It's one of my favorite.
Just recently wrapped up last year.
A couple years ago, I think. I think it's almost like two years ago.
Time is passing. Yeah. I know. I went into a looking to get in that big old omnibus that Terry Moore put out, the hardcover double volume omnibus.
I like the pocketbooks, to be honest. I think they're fun. They're a fun little thing to read.
I'll tell you, I'm looking behind here, and they've got six volumes here on the shelf. I'll pick up the first volume tonight, and I know our good friends at InStockTrades.com. Will have a nice little discount on
if you're unfamiliar with it. It is a shape, size wise like a book,
like a
paperback book. Yeah, it's 300 pages, mm-hmm. and it's black and white, and it's I love that format. If you can get away with it, it's fun to carry. It's a hefty read. It'll mm-hmm. take you. It's not slow reading, but it's 300 pages. And it's fun. It's fun.
Less than
True Story, I swear to God. Yeah,
which
true.
Was, what, 600 pages and then, or something?
Oh, excuse me. And then I'm going to pick probably a showcase for the next one where we have to... War That Time Forgot, so you can read 35 consecutive stories about someone fighting an island with dinosaurs on it.
Well, I already know what my next pick is, and it's going to be totally different than Strangers in Paradise. So,
oh, it's going to be like
awesome.
All-Star Superman.
Not that Strangers in Paradise is not awesome.
Total change of pace.
Yes, total
Switch
change
it up.
Of pace. It's going to be
It's
going to be action-packed, baby.
We went from JLA Avengers to Hellblazer to Strangers in Paradise.
Diversity. I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. All right. That will take care of our conversation on Hellblazer, Dangerous Habits. Let me take a look at that for a second.
Bam.
And just to recap, it is written by Garth Ennis with art by William Simpson and Mark Pennington, Tom Sutton, and Malcolm Jones III. Rest in peace, Malcolm Jones. So, yeah, you can still check that out at instocktrades.com. And go pick up the first pocketbook of Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore, one of the I think landmark independent comics of the last decade or two.
Yeah,
yeah. So have fun with that.
I would put that on there. Yeah,
there you go. All right,
it has an ending.
Thank you very much, and it does have an ending. And remember to come back on Monday for a regular full length episode of Around Comics. In the meantime.
In between time, I was taking a drink. Sorry. No, I wasn't ready.
We'll be everywhere here.
And around comics.
Cancer.
Around cancer.
Comics.
All your classic cancer comics.
Sure. Adrenaline.